Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahey, Iconic Army.
Borahey.
Oh my gosh, we're back.
We are back.
We're so excited to be back. Now, like, the time off has been really nice. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty refreshing. We were looking forward to it, but so much has changed in our lives during this hiatus.
And a lot has changed.
It's crazy how much has changed.
Yeah.
So
way more than we expected, even though I was going on maternity leave.
Yeah.
And a whole new person in my house.
Right, like a newborn baby.
Yes.
And then, like, I went through some pretty massive life changes during this time too. So
yes, you did.
You know, this break for us came at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. With Bethany's maternity leave, but we're really excited to be back. We've yeah. missed you, Iconics. We've really missed just, like, the process of, you know, recording and mm-hmm. hanging out and doing this together too. So
it's been such a ritual, like,
yeah.
in all of over these last 6+ years, it's been a ritual.
Yeah.
And this really was the first time we took an extended break. And so I was kind of hoping that we would have a lot of refreshment coming into this episode.
Yeah.
And it has been very, very refreshing
yeah.
going on this slight hiatus. What's surprising me, though, is, like, just before recording, we did our sound check, and everything was coming so easily to us
I
as
know.
We were talking back and forth, because I thought, oh, we're going to be rusty. We're
Sometimes we've
got to
take a couple takes before uh-huh. we, like, get into it, you know?
Not rusty at all.
No.
We just, like, we're like, we could be recording the episode right now.
Right. And we're like, okay, actually, let's stop and do that.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and get into recording.
Yeah, yeah, it feels really good. I'm happy to be back with you, Bethany. And,
yeah,
you
I'm
know.
Happy to be back with you.
Yes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back with our annual report, celebrating the year's best in music and entertainment. And this time, we're bringing you something extra, a brand new podcast series exclusively on Amazon Music.
Get inside access with interviews featuring this year's biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers, plus discussions with the Consequence team on our Best of the Year lists. And the best part? You can tune in with Amazon Music Unlimited, now free for 3 months.
For a limited time, get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited free by visiting tryamazonmusic.com/COS. You'll get over 100 million songs in stunning HD sound, on demand, and ad-free, plus top ad-free podcasts, including the Consequence Annual Report podcast.
Even better, every Amazon Music Unlimited subscriber now gets one free audiobook from Audible each month.
Celebrate the best of 2024 with Consequence's annual report all December at consequence.net. And don't miss the companion podcast by signing up for 3 free months of Amazon Music Unlimited at tryamazonmusic.com/COS or clicking the link in the show description. That's tryamazonmusic.com/COS.
On that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be providing you all with some of our life updates. I'll talk about me being a mom. Kayla will talk about what's new in her life. And then we're really going to get into the meat of the episode, which we're going to be talking about all of the content that has been going on since our hiatus.
So much.
So much.
Yeah.
You know, BTS never stops, we all know. So we're going to be catching you all up on that.
Yeah. Before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you so much, Iconics, for waiting around for us, for sticking around, for listening to our fan favorites episodes over the past few weeks. And really just thanks for being here and thanks for all of your support, especially your support on Patreon. If you'd like to support us there, you can have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, which will be back now, and our sound checks. So please consider joining us there on Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Yes, thank you all so much for your support and for listening.
Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into what is going on in our lives. Just some updates before we get into all of the BTS content. Mm-hmm. So I became a mom. I had a baby girl, July 6th. Mm-hmm. Her name's Millie.
Perfect angel.
She's the best. Mm-hmm. She's the best. She already has so much personality. She just turned 3 months yesterday, mm-hmm. which is just wild to think about. Like, time really does go by fast. Maternity leave was just incredible. I mean, I got to spend so much time with her. The only thing that was crappy was the lack of sleep. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people say pregnancy tired is worse than just having a baby tired, mm-hmm. like lack of sleep tired. And I totally agree with that. Like, when I was pregnant, I was so big, guys. Like, I gained like almost 60 pounds mm-hmm. in my pregnancy. Like,
you're like a short statured woman.
Yeah, I'm like 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah.
So I don't know. And Corey is like 6'2", 6'3".
Right.
Probably 6'3"-ish, 6'4". He's like in that range. Right. I really don't know. He's tall. So I was like having a Corey-sized baby develop inside me. And I'm just so short. And there was nowhere for any of it to go. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of fluid. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
You know, like, my water broke. And I've heard people, like a lot of moms say, oh, if your water does break, it's not like the movies. Mine was kind of like the movies.
Yeah.
I just had a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, gross.
No, but not gross at all. Normal, human, natural. You know?
Maternity leave was really great, though. I mean, Millie, she's just a rock star. We got to her in the morning. The morning is the best. She's just so, I mean, she's willing to do tummy time. Mm. She's just all smiles.
Yeah.
She has, nothing beats a baby smile, mm-mm. but her smile just, it's pure love.
It's like, so
there's
cute.
Nothing that makes me happier than seeing Millie smile. It's
yeah.
just the absolute best. And she's really a smiley girl. She smiles like constantly. It doesn't take much to get her to pop out a grin.
Yeah, I was just telling you, right when I came over, I went to greet her. I was like, hi, baby girl. Hi, Millie. And she smiled three times for me. Three big smiles. Like,
yeah.
so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so cute. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love her so much. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time now that it's over,
yeah.
my maternity leave. At least going back to work. Like, my first day back to work was a Monday. And I just wasn't, I mean, a lot of my friends had told me, hey, that first day back is going to be rough.
Right.
It'll be rough, and it might be rough for a while.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, well, I just love what I do, and I love my coworkers. I have a great relationship with my bosses. So I felt like it'd be reclaiming a part of myself, which
right.
is definitely what it has felt like now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had to put on my work scrubs, and the second I started getting ready in the morning for work, I just started bawling.
Yeah.
Like, the tears just came out. And then getting to work and all of my coworkers being like, welcome back. Like, that just, like, the flood of emotion,
right.
you know, when you have, like, so many eyes on you.
Right.
And, yeah, it was hard that first day.
Yeah.
But my boss, he's fantastic. And he was like, listen, do your best. Do what you can, especially with, like, the additional pumping that I have to do throughout the day. Like, I'm even more cramped for time seeing
right.
patients because I'm having to pump and all of that. So it was a little stressful and upsetting to not be with Millie
yeah, of course.
After being with her every day from morning to night,
mm-hmm.
12 weeks on end.
Right.
It was a tough adjustment, but by Wednesday, I was feeling a lot better. Like,
right.
I felt like, okay, I love what I do. I love seeing patients. They put me on med tele, and so I saw a lot of my stroke patients, and I live for that. And so getting to do those evaluations and treatments where my patients are super highly motivated,
mm-hmm.
very receptive to instruction, like, it was the absolute best.
Yeah.
Seeing progress, getting to evaluate things that I don't get to with all my patients. It was just, I'm utilizing my skills again, and this, I'm good at what I do, and like, I'm reclaiming that part of that OT part of me, I guess.
Yeah. So. I mean, you always said like you knew that you were going to love your baby so much, but also you know that you always want to work. Like you love your career, you love your job. You feel like, you know, that occupation is like so intrinsically who you are. It's like been something you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think there may be some hard days ahead too, where like you feel like, wow, you really miss her. You wish you could be with her too. But like, I think you've also made it through like the absolute worst day so far.
Yeah.
Like that first day is the worst day, the hardest day. And I'm glad that you're feeling better about being back at work, and like that all of your coworkers and your bosses have been so supportive. And it's always nice when you have really sweet patients who, you know, like want to work with you, and you're like, oh yes, this is why I love what I do and why I'm here, you know?
At least they didn't put me on like a terrible unit where like patients are just like unmotivated and don't hate seeing me. You know?
Like, you're like, you're unmotivated, me
therapy.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Today was a little tough because it was Monday back after an extended weekend.
Right.
So, you know, I think Mondays are just going to be tough.
After being with her for 2 days.
Time with her. Yeah. I'm just kind of reminded of all that precious time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my mom is so sweet. She said, you know, Bethany, like you're actually being a really good mom by setting an example for your daughter that she can go and have a career and still be a great mom.
It's true.
You know, to her. So that's what I'm going to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which kind of leads me into my next thing, which is we all kind of know about postpartum depression. And I just feel like it should be continued to be talked about because I thought I was in the clear. I've had anxiety in the past. I continue to have anxiety. And so after birth, I thought that's when postpartum really hit, was like within those first couple weeks.
Right.
And I was totally fine. So I really thought, I was like, okay, hey, I'm good. They had me take a postpartum depression scale. I felt fine. I went to my 6-week follow-up with my OB, took that scale, that postpartum depression scale again, and everything was fine. She was like, you look good. She said, but I love my OB so much. She's fantastic. She's like, but if you start to feel any changes, you let me know.
Yeah.
Something happened around week 8, and I didn't know that postpartum depression and anxiety, I would say mine's more anxiety than depression, but like, I didn't know that it could hit with any point of time within that first year post-birth. And I just started to spiral about, because that 8-week mark, she just, her sleep got all turned around, routines, I mean, with a baby, every day is a different day. You don't know. Like every week they have new skills, or they regress, or they do this, or they do that. And I just was becoming super hyper fixated on things. And my OT background does not help.
Right.
Because I know about all the milestones. I know about just like normal development, the benchmarks.
Yeah.
And I just was getting so freaked out about the tiniest little thing. I'd be like, oh, she's really tense and uncomfortable this day. And then I was like, oh, but she's really calm this day. What if she's becoming flaccid? What if she's regressing? What if she, her tone, her this, that, you know, it just was a mess. Like I turned to Corey multiple times and said, I think I'm losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to call my mom and say, hey, like, I'm not okay. Like I was crying at 3:30 in the morning to a crying baby. She's crying, I'm crying, and I'm having thoughts of, can I do this? Am I good enough? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, I just, it was all a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So once my mom came, my mom is such a fantastic person. I love her so much.
Yeah.
And she's like, Bethany, I've known you my whole life. And she's like, I really think that you might have some postpartum depression, anxiety going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I think it's just lack of sleep, which is true. That doesn't help.
Right.
It doesn't help. But I went to go take a bath to like try to relax and unwind. And my mom was like, I'll take the baby. You just take care of yourself. And while I was in the bath, I was just on my phone spiraling, searching, Googling everything. I feel like a lot of moms can relate. Like you just Google everything. Is it normal that my baby does this? Is it normal my baby does that? Is their poop okay? Is this okay? Is, you know, and I realized that I couldn't relax and I just started crying again. And I went into my mom's room and I said, you know what? yeah, like, I think I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the time to reach out. I had lost a lot of weight because I wasn't eating.
Right.
My milk supply was going down because I wasn't eating. Like, I just, yeah, those physical, I was crying like every 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Super abnormal.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Not like you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very real. It can happen at any point a year postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I'm so grateful for all of the medical staff who talked to me right after birth, and my OB who talked to me, for being so open about, like, hey, this is a chemical imbalance. It's nothing on you. It's just, and they knew I had the history of anxiety too. And they're like, it usually will exacerbate.
Yeah.
So just know that anyone out there who's experiencing that, you're not alone. There's no shame around
mm-hmm.
it. I thought of it in the mindset of, if I am the way I am right now, I can't be as present for my daughter and enjoy these precious moments with my daughter if I don't take care of it.
Right.
And so I'm glad I went and talked to my OB about it, you know, got put on a little SSRI,
mm-hmm.
and I am enjoying every moment with Millie now, and
yeah.
I'm not spiraling out of
yeah.
control, and she's a healthy, happy baby, and she's doing just fine.
Right.
But at the time I was just not mentally
right
in the capacity
in the right
of
place.
Knowing.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you're doing better, and you know, that you feel so much better, and that you're able to just like focus on those good things and the things that you really care about
right.
and the things that matter, you know,
yeah.
and yeah, that you're not constantly spiraling about that anymore is so
mm-hmm.
hard. You know, it was hard to see you like that too. And
I mean, you saw me. I was mm-hmm. like, I was just constant tears in my
yeah.
eyes. It
yeah.
was weird.
Yeah. But then at the same, you know, you were telling me like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't feel like I'm a good mom. And at the same
yeah.
time, when I'm with you, between the tears, right? And you're like, you know, 30-minute windows of like good moments, you're like so attentive to her, like reacting to every expression of hers, you know,
mm.
just you're like the most attentive, wonderful, amazing mom that, you
yeah.
know, I could ever imagine. And like something that I haven't been able to talk about yet on the podcast is just like, it has been so beautiful watching you be a mom. Like, oh my gosh, like I just have never seen this love like this right in front of me before,
mm.
you know, like when I was, you know, my younger sibling is like 2 years younger than me, so I didn't grow up around babies or anything like that. And
mm-hmm.
so like just seeing you with Millie is just so beautiful, like the unconditional love. And like I just hated you doubting that, you know, you couldn't do it, or that you're not enough, or that you're
yeah.
not a wonderful mother, because like you know, you and actually your mom and I talked about this together, just like just seeing you is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like you just are just like this incredible mom, and
I appreciate
it's just really beautiful
that.
To see.
That means
yeah.
a lot. It
yeah.
really means a lot.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I am a good mom, you know. Obviously I don't know everything. I'm doing like
every day
I learn something
day.
New.
Yeah.
But that's a big part of a beautiful part of having a child,
yeah.
I feel like, is you continue to grow as a person
and you should
be
you
the best
be.
You can for them.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you don't claim to like know it all, but
right.
like you're always showing up for her and you're doing the absolute best that you can every day, and like it is really beautiful to
yeah.
witness. So
yeah.
yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah,
I love
she
her
is
so
amazing.
So much. She's a cutie, man.
Yeah.
She's a little chunk.
She's a
little chunky girl.
Girl.
Yeah,
yeah, she is. I mean, she's Corey's daughter. She's
yeah.
got that 6'4 dad genes in
yeah.
her. So.
She likes to eat. She's like 90th percentile. Like, she's a 90th percentile baby.
Yeah.
She's chunky.
Yeah. And
my mom,
first, like,
she got her a Thanksgiving outfit that says chunky thighs and pumpkin pies. And I just, I can't. So cute.
Relevant for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, that's mostly what's been new with me. Just
yeah.
mom life, adjusting to this new role and
yeah.
Yeah. being a mom.
As women, our hormones fluctuate all the time. We can feel the difference as we move through our monthly cycle, and we know how it feels when something is off. Hormone imbalance can be so difficult to deal with.
So difficult. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones.
They do, but the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes, that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as irritability and moodiness, or uncontrollable cravings, hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, the occasional bloating and gas, and having no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code STANDBTS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code STANDBTS for 15% off today.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play. Like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I'll get into what's new with me, and it's just really interesting. I haven't talked about my faith on the podcast at all, but you know, after going through all of this, I've really returned to my faith. And so I just want to say it's just interesting, God's timing and how when you had Millie and when you went on maternity leave and when we planned to have this hiatus for the podcast, because this massive life change came and hit me in the face. And I don't think that I would have been able to do the podcast at that time for many, many weeks.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I'm really grateful.
I wouldn't have expected it.
No. So this is what's happening with me. So, I'm going through a divorce right now, and it was really shocking to everyone. So if you're listening and all you know about Jordan, my soon to be ex-husband, is all of the great things that I've said about him on the podcast, about how he had gone to a BTS concert with us. He's always been super supportive of the fangirling and, you know, but I hid a lot about my relationship from everybody. Bethany didn't even know things that were going on.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was in utter shock, probably the most shocked I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, and so was my whole family and, you know, all of our other friends, the friend group that he and I shared. So I really, can't, for legal reasons, say too much. I won't say too much because, we're going through the divorce process right now. But after 9 months of, inklings of it and constant, gaslighting, the same fight every 2 weeks, and, him, breadcrumbing me along of, acting like he was working on it, acting like he still wanted this and, that he wanted to make it work, too, I found out that he was cheating on me. And it's really honestly not the first time. He hasn't, that I known of, actually cheated on me before, but I've known when he's made attempts before, when in my opinion he's crossed the line, or when I felt like he was flirting with one of our friends right in front of me, and then we would talk about it and he would just say I'm just being friendly, you're reading the situation wrong, and he would just gaslight me about it. So it's kind of always been there, and he has other issues too that, just for legal reasons and divorce agreements, I'm just not gonna say, but things that I was constantly having to put up with and deal with for our whole 10-year relationship and 7-year marriage, where I was essentially babysitting him and making sure that he was okay and not going to get into trouble. And it was exhausting. I put up with so much, and on July 31st was the day that I left him, because he had been gaslighting me for so long, and I had been feeling like I'm really fucking crazy. I had really been feeling man, I'm reading into all of this. I'd been literally living in a constant state of anxiety and stress, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just like, just literally in turmoil, like all day, every day. And it was only exacerbated once I got to summer break and I didn't at least have work to occupy my mind where I could put it out of my mind at work. And I was hiding all of our marital issues because I kept thinking like, oh, we'll work it out. It'll be fine eventually. Like, I don't want to tell people about it because like, we're going to be okay.
You're going to work through it.
We're going to work through it. But you know, I had gotten to this point and I had never gone through his phone before because I feel like that's, you know, like a major boundary. Of course, I was always trying to like still just be like trusting, and like I felt like if I go through his phone, then that's going to be like, you know, a line that you can't uncross type of thing. But I had finally gotten to the point where I was like, I feel so crazy. And so I said to myself, next time I get the opportunity, like if he falls asleep in bed, like watching something on his phone with his phone unlocked, like I'm going to go through his phone. And on that night, July 31st, he had fallen asleep watching a Olympic basketball game. And so I said, all right, here's my opportunity. And I went through his phone and I checked all of his texts. There was nothing. Checked all, you know, his Facebook Messenger, Instagram. There was nothing. He had like replied to like some girl's DMs that I felt like was like kind of flirty, but like even like I had put up with so much shit like that, that I just like rationalized that away. And so I was like, you know, okay, I didn't find anything. I was like, okay, I'm really fucking crazy. And then I saw the Twitter app and I was like, well, I'll check Twitter. And right when I opened Twitter, it opened right up to DMs with this girl that I eventually found out he works with. And he's like literally telling her that he loves her. And like, I mean, they have, I don't even know what all they did, you know, because he would never actually tell me everything that they did. But he had been cheating on me since like...
That's why, I'm sorry, that's what gets me, is like still not being able to fully come clean even after being caught.
The most that he said, the most that I've gotten out of him is, we kissed, bull fucking shit. I know that you did way more than that. Like, you know, I mean, like I like just, I know that there was more than that. You know?
I mean, he's saying he loves her.
He's saying he loves her and sending her a picture of watermelon that I fucking cut up for him. You know, like, hey, I'm home, like, you know, watching the Olympics and snacking. Like, just literally so vile.
It's disgusting.
And so he had been cheating on me since at least October of last year. I keep thinking about recently, like that's when we went to see Inhypen in Chicago last time. Like he probably cheated on me maybe for the first time that weekend or something like that. Like, but he had been planning it like months before. He told me that he was unhappy at the end of last year, like right before Christmas. And I even like was like, should we like separate for a while? Should we like go and like see, you know, like should we go to our own family's Christmas and like, you know, not, you know, have time together and to see like if we want to work it out. And he didn't want to do any of that. Like he kept making me believe that he wanted to work it out. He wanted to work on it. He wanted to fix it, whatever. And so we had, we kept having these like roller coaster highs and lows over the entire, like literally all of 2024, like the last month and a half of 2023 and then like all of 2024. And it was exhausting. Same fight every 2 weeks, just like horrible. And so when I saw those DMs, I woke him up. Like I, you know, if I had more wherewithal, I would have scrolled more. I would have taken screenshots for proof and evidence. But like, of course I didn't do any of that. I just like, I scrolled enough to know what it was. And I woke him up and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I started like reading messages out loud to him as I scrolled. And he just laid there like in complete shock for like 2 minutes straight up. Like he really thought I would never find out. He really thought that he was like gonna get away with it, even though like I was constantly asking him about it, you know, like I was constantly seeing clues and he was constantly gaslighting me. And so when he finally realized what was going on, he snatched his phone and he like literally wouldn't tell me anything. I asked him three questions for the next hour. What the fuck is her name? How long has this been going on? What did you do with her? Because like at this point, my own physical health is on the line. I feel like we've been together for 10 years. The least you can tell me is like this fucking her girl's name, you know, or how long it's been going on. The only reason
like you've been caught, you owe this to me now.
Yeah, exactly. And the only reason why like I know that it's been going on since at least last October is because you and your friend Anthony found her Twitter that they DM'd on and it was like it was opened on October of 2023.
That's when it was created.
That was when it was created.
Because I'm psycho. I was like, I have to fucking know.
And they could have been talking before that on like WhatsApp or whatever, because Jordan had WhatsApp on his phone and it just like wasn't downloaded anymore. Like the app was still there. Like he could have been talking to her through different avenues and like, you know, who even knows how long it was going on, you know? So that night, like, I had the most amount of clarity that I've ever had in my whole life. Like, a physical feeling of clarity washing over me where I was just like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I've known this whole time. Like, I had dreams about it, you know? And then I would wake up the next morning and be like, I had this dream that you're cheating on me and you finally admitted it. Like, what's going on? You know? And he like still, you know, I gave him every chance to just fess up and tell the truth. But I wasn't going to end my 10-year relationship, my 7-year marriage on like a gut feeling what was going on. You know, I needed the concrete evidence for me to know it's time to walk away. Mm-hmm. And so after I saw those DMs, like, and he didn't answer any of those questions that whole hour, I was like literally just like packing up my stuff, grabbed Rosie, obviously not leaving my dog behind. And I just grabbed what I could take and I called you, called Corey, sobbing, you know, and I was like, Jordan's cheating on me. Can I come over? And Bethany and Corey, the saints that they are, with like literally a 2.5 week old baby, like brought me into their home and let me live with them for like 3 weeks until I could get an apartment of my own and like get back on my feet. Like, this is like, oh my God, like best friend of my life. Like, I have told you so many times, but like, there's just never going to be enough gratitude to be able to share with you like what that meant to me.
It was never a question of taking you in. For both Corey and I.
I mean, I know it wasn't, but it was like, you guys had so much going on in your life. Millie's baptism was like literally like
that
August
weekend,
4th.
That weekend.
I mean, your parents had planned to stay here with you in your guest room, and instead I was there. So like, they had to get a hotel. Like, you know, it really like shuffled plans around, and it wasn't a convenient thing, but you guys did it for me anyways. And like, I'll just be forever so grateful. And not only did you do that, but you gave me a safe space to get away to where I could be safe. You gave me so much like support, emotional support, where like there was one night, like right after I left, where it was like a storm, and Millie, even though she was a newborn, she was like sleeping like almost all the way through the night. And
it
we were sitting, it was so crazy. It was like, she knew, you know, we were sitting in your garage with the, you know, the garage door open, just like watching the storm and just talking about everything. Like, there, you know, nights like that, that I'll just never forget, you know?
I'll never forget that. I mean, I was, if you don't mind me speaking here for a moment, but I just, getting the phone call, I was asleep. And you knew that Corey and I had our shifts.
Right. I knew that it was your shift to sleep.
And so, Corey coming in and waking me up and just, I mean, he was just as shocked as I was, and he really felt for you too. And it's one of the, you know, you just have those moments in life where like, they're just core memories. And with it thunderstorming and Millie like magically sleeping through the night and just you, Corey and I sitting out in the garage in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. storming and just
letting it all out. And I finally got to tell you everything, you know, like also like some reason why I didn't want to tell you is because when our marriage was really bad for that last like 8-9 months, you were pregnant and I didn't want to like burden you with anything else. But also I had been hiding so many problems in our relationship for the whole time that I just like continued to hide, continued to like cover for him basically, you know? And like, I never, him and I, we were always like really private about our relationship. We're like, we're not going to put our issues out there. We're going to deal with them between us, you know? And like, I'll just, if there's any advice that I could give to anyone, no matter what relationship you're in, if you can't talk about your relationship with your best friend, if you can't talk about, if you have a good relationship with your family and you can't talk about your relationship with your family, that's not a good relationship. Like, if you have to hide things about the way that they act or the things that they do, that's not a good relationship, and they're not meant for you. They don't deserve you.
For the to the people that you truly like, love and trust. And
the
people that you truly love and trust, your support system outside of that person.
Right. Because I mean, and he like divided me from, you know, my family support system so much where I felt like I couldn't go to them and I couldn't talk to them because of X, Y, and Z reasons or whatever, you know? But yeah, I feel like that's so true. If you cannot talk about it, you need to get out. Like, it's just not a good thing. And you're going to feel so much better once you're out. You know, like the night that I left, I have not looked back, and it was really hard at times. Like, Moving out was really hard. Corey, again, you and Corey, just incredible. Corey helped me move everything that I owned and that I wanted out of that house. Like, I took all of the good furniture. I took the good TV, entertainment system, like, you know, kitchen table, everything. The only thing I left him was, like, our bed. Like, fuck that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And then, like, an old couch that we used to use in our living room. Like, yeah. You know, that was it. I took everything else. And, he was fine with it. He knew that he didn't deserve any of it.
No.
But like,
at least he knew that.
Yeah. At least he knew that. But it was really hard. Like, there was one time when we were moving and there was like a bit of miscommunication where Corey thought that we were coming back here to your house and I thought we were going straight back to my house. So I was there alone for like a half hour.
Mm.
And I just like walked around from room to room and just kind of like looked at it. And I was just like sobbing. I have never sobbed that hard in my whole life. Like, even when I was grieving my grandpa at his funeral, like, but I had to get it out. Like, I knew that I had to get it out, and I was just sitting in the house, like, wailing. And
grieving. I mean yeah,
really
you're
grieving.
Talking about a 10-plus
yeah.
year-long relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, something that for a lot of years was really good, and we had a lot of really good memories, you know, and that's been something that's hard to deal with, too, is, like, holding both of those things, knowing, like, how absolutely fucking horrible and vile and evil he was to me at the end, like, trying to actively push me away to, like, quote unquote, make me realize that he didn't, you know, that I deserve better than him instead
no,
of him just leaving.
No, he could have just manned the fuck up and said, I'm not happy.
Right. He could have just not been a fucking coward loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I got to reel it in because we're in like a legal process, but
yeah,
I mean, like, no, you're so
I'm
right.
I'm over here when you, oh man, the things I have said, I think have been so incredibly way more anger centered than
but
even what you've said in the
also
past.
Also so true. Like
yeah.
Everything that you've ever said, since I've left him. And like, it's just like, I mean, he tried to embarrass me in front of my family on purpose. Like, for 4th of July, that's when we were in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
when you were giving birth to Millie, he wanted to go on that trip. He organized that whole trip. He brought my whole family together for the purpose of getting blackout drunk during 4th of July
yeah.
and throwing up all over my cousin's pool deck 3 times just to embarrass me. He's admitted to me that he was doing that to embarrass me.
That's wild to me because
fucking
truthfully,
insane.
He's the embarrassment.
Yeah.
He should be embarrassed of himself.
Of that behavior. Yeah. I mean, and of just all of his choices within the past year, give or take, you know?
That is so twisted. Like, why?
Isn't
who does
so
that?
Isn't
that
so manipulative and fucked
that?
Up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he wanted a reaction out of me too, and I didn't give it to him because at that point, I was so like beat down that I was just like walking on eggshells just trying to make him happy so that he would stay with me type of thing.
Ugh.
Like, just fucked up.
Yeah.
So anyways, I had to seriously grieve. I had to deal with, and I still am dealing with, a lot of anger and resentment. Like, at this point, I have a lot of really good days. I am like truly like happier than ever. I have times where I don't even think about him or think about, you know, like the trauma that this relationship is leaving me with. But like, you know, like today, even I got triggered and like, I just feel like sometimes I just really have to deal with the anger and the
yeah.
resentment and just like still process. But I've been, you know, journaling a lot. I got a journal like 2 days after leaving him, and I never journaled before in our whole marriage because I couldn't be honest with myself. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would sit down to try to journal and I was just like fucking lying. So I stopped, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It just felt so refreshing to be able to be honest. And I've been praying again, and I've like gone back to church, and I found a church here in this area that like I really love that I go
mm-hmm.
to. I've been working out and just like really investing in myself. And I feel like, you know, my relationships with my close friends and my family, like, they've helped me through the majority of that. And like, they've also just never been better. Like, you know, I feel like I got my sister back, feel like I got my parents back, of
mm-hmm.
just like being able to just call them and talk to them about anything. Like, even my grandma, I went and visited my grandma last weekend, and
mm-hmm.
it's just been really wonderful to like realize like I'm not alone. If I don't have him, I have so many other people that love me for who I am, don't
mm-hmm.
put me down, they treat me how I deserve to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and they like, these people are the people that matter and the people that, you know, love me unconditionally.
Yeah.
And so that's been like a really beautiful silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
I found an apartment, and so Rosie and I are like happier than ever. It's a really nice apartment. Like,
yeah.
I feel really grateful to be in it. It just like worked out perfectly, just how it should be. And
mm-hmm.
This has also just been a really transformative opportunity to find myself again. Like, I lost so much of who I am and like denied so many like of my core values throughout our relationship, like to stay with him. And like, went against some promises that I made to myself really early on, just for like the sake and the commitment of marriage, because like that really meant something to me. And yeah. I think like the commitment of marriage still means something to me, you know?
Yeah.
But like the night that I finally found out that truth, like I said, I was just so, I had so much clarity. And I remember
relief, honestly.
I was so relieved.
It's like, you know, you reached a point of I'm leaving for good, but you, like you had said, this had been going on for months.
Yeah.
So the confirmation that you have been seeking, it mm-hmm. finally came mm-hmm. and you realized, oh no, everything I have thought, everything I have seen up to this point is true.
Right.
And you're talking, it was sounded like a lot.
It was
like,
so much.
A lot that you were like,
you guys,
hey.
Here, Iconics, you're getting like a little snippet, like, a peek through mm-hmm. of the whole picture. Because like, I could tell you for an hour about everything that happened and you still wouldn't yeah. have the whole story, you know? But yeah, the relief was immense, and realizing I could trust myself again,
yeah.
like realizing like, and I just regained, it was like in an instant, I regained all of this knowledge of like who the fuck I am,
right.
that I'm like such a powerful woman, that I'm so capable, that I'm so smart.
The truth will set you free?
Yes, I mean,
like
really,
yeah.
the truth really did set me free, and I've never felt more free and
yeah.
just more proud of who I am. And I feel like, I know that I can absolutely deal with anything that life throws at me,
yeah.
And that I have like so much perseverance and grit that I, like, he made me feel like I didn't have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've really found so much happiness within myself.
That pisses me off so much that he doesn't think that you would have the grit and perseverance to move on.
Yeah.
That shows me how much he doesn't know you.
Right. And someone said to me today that it just shows how low of a person he is, that he was trying to bring me down to his level.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he does not have that value
mm-hmm.
and that he can't bring that to the table for himself.
Yeah.
And so he was always trying to tear me down to his level.
Mm-hmm.
He has
nothing.
No.
He really has nothing.
Yeah.
This is all coming from me as
the
best
everything
friend.
Everything that he has, like the job that he has, is because I pushed him to go
yeah.
and get something better and to
yeah.
like, you know, build himself up. And yeah, so.
I don't want to bash him too much, but
no.
honestly, the moment I separated him from you.
You realize.
I've lost all respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you really are just low life.
Yeah.
And the only thing you had going for you was Kayla.
Yeah. And I think, like, I was such a massive cover for him.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just always thought Kayla and Jordan.
He was under this veil of
mm-hmm.
Kayla's achievements
mm-hmm.
and Kayla's lifestyle.
Yeah.
And hiding the truth of who he really is.
Right. And I was doing it for him, too, you
yeah.
know? So, yeah. But I really, although there are still some hard days, like, I've really never been happier, truly.
Yeah.
I've never felt happiness like this before in my life, and I've started dreaming about my goals and my future again, and like what I want and how
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get it. I made like this massive list of all these things I want to do. Like, I want to go get back to school finally, get my master's. I still love yoga. Like, I want to get my yoga certification
mm-hmm.
and teach some yoga on the side. And I have applied for Survivor.
Yeah.
Like, I love Survivor. You guys know when we interviewed Erica Kasupinen, like, that was so cool for me. And like, I probably won't hear anything back. I have like no high hopes that I'll like actually get on this season or whatever, but like, I truly don't care. I'm so proud of myself for applying, and I'm honestly just gonna keep applying until I get on the show.
Right.
Because I feel like I have such a good story now, and like, I'm a fucking survivor from going through all of this with him.
Yep.
And you know, like, if I go out there, if I can get on the island, I'm gonna win. So
yeah,
you know, that was really fun for me to apply. And yeah, I want you guys all to know that I really am doing well. I feel like I'm doing better than most people in my life like would expect.
I was shocked at how quickly you just are so strong.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Taurus.
Yeah. You're
yeah.
just so, so strong. Also, I had no idea that any of this was going on. I'm not being dramatic when I say this was the biggest shock of my entire life
yeah.
because I kept thinking, how could me as a friend not notice?
Right. You blamed yourself
on?
And I was like, no, because I didn't let you know.
I mean, you really
yeah.
kept it so separate. And I
yeah.
just, I feel that I just feel for you, and that you had to process and go through all of that on your own
mm-hmm.
without any additional support. So to see you come out of it and reclaim who you are and just go ahead and dive into what you're passionate about and reaching towards, you know, whatever else you've been wanting to do, like
yeah.
applying for Survivor
yeah.
or being a yoga instructor, like, you are just you're going for it.
Yeah. And also
happy
I'm like
you.
Back into the school year. I love my job more than ever. Yeah. You know, like I'm full time at the ninth grade center. I fucking love it. You know, like have great relationships with my coworkers and my bosses. And mm-hmm. what I'm most proud of is that I did not let myself wallow for 1 minute. Like, of course I grieved. Of course I had times that I was upset or like sleepless nights very early on, you know, when I was still living here with you guys. But like, every day when I was here living at your house before I got my own place, I woke up and I hit the ground running. What am I going to do for myself today mm-hmm. to set up my future, to move on? And I like, you know, did all of our divorce papers. I, you know, filed everything. Basically, like when I left him, I had 2.5 weeks until I had to go back to work for the beginning of the school year. And I, in that time, like I found an apartment. I moved into an apartment. I filed for divorce, like even got his signatures so I could just mm-hmm. go in and, you know, like I really, I hit the ground running and like I'm just so proud of myself. Like
I'm
I've never been
too.
More proud of myself.
Yeah. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. So our divorce hearing is coming up on October 28th in the afternoon. And it should just be pretty straightforward. Should just be like, you want to get divorced? Yep. You want to? Yep. All right. You're divorced, you know?
Yeah.
And then it'll be official after that on a month later, which is literally Thanksgiving Day, November 28th.
Yeah.
So, man, it'll be like the most thankful Thanksgiving of my entire life. So, that's me. That's my big life update. I know that's so crazy.
Yeah, we both had a lot to say.
Yeah.
Two, I mean, you can't get any more major life events than
having a baby.
I'm having a baby and I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah. But I'm really, I don't want you guys to worry about me. You know,
you're doing
I'm
awesome.
Doing really great.
Yeah. And you have a lot of support.
Yeah.
And you're just you, man. You are really reclaiming who you are. Like there was without a doubt in my mind once you said, oh no, like we're getting divorced. There was not a doubt in my mind that you were going to be just fine.
Yeah. Thank you,
girl.
You
were going to be just fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that we talked
now
about
that we
that
did
so
all of our life update, oh my goodness.
Let's go ahead and talk about BTS.
Let's talk about BTS and what they've been up to. We really have to talk about one of my favorite pieces of content that got put out was the new song Never Play by Megan Thee Stallion featuring RM of BTS. This is such a hype, fantastic song. We love to see this collaboration. We've seen it before with BTS and Megan Thee Stallion. I always go back to when we saw them in LA for Permission to Dance on stage, like Megan Thee Stallion was at the concert that we were at, and just I can so clearly picture massive Namjoon, you know, standing next to this like very powerful Megan Thee Stallion and just these two powerful rappers side by side. And so getting to see them do a song, just these two, it's such a hit. It's a great workout song. I know, Kayla, you've love this song too.
I love it. Yeah. Even though it came out like a month ago, I'm still listening to it daily.
Yeah.
You know, it just has such a good beat and like RM's rap is so fucking good. And I just love Megan. So Megan has really got me through this time. Like too, like her music is so badass.
It's so badass.
Yeah. Completely. Also like the music video is really incredible. I love the cool animated style with like the anime, you know, the anime style in there, because Megan is a huge fan of anime.
Mm-hmm.
She like loves to cosplay, and so I think that that's something that's so intrinsically her. And I love at the beginning of the music video like her standing at the pinball machine, and the pinball machine like has her photo and RM's photo like drawn on there. Mm-hmm. But like it's like the beat of the song really matches like the pinballs bouncing around the pinball machine.
Cool.
So smart. Yeah. And I also just love that in the video, like the anime version of her repelled the enemies with like the power of twerk. Like
hilarious.
So fucking good. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
RM's character also, he's like locked up by bad guys and he gets free with some like cool fighting moves. You see Megan pull up in this like getaway car. Then RM, hilariously enough, is the one driving the car as she's counting money. And so a lot of ARMYs joked about how RM, this is the only time that he would be driving,
right?
Because homeboy doesn't have a driver's license. Maybe he does now.
Maybe.
He might. I don't know. But last I heard,
it's not his fave.
It had been a while, at least.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to worry about that. He'll just have people drive him. But at the end, his face on the machine winks at her, and then he disappears completely from the pinball machine, and he comes up behind her and taps her on the shoulder.
Oh my God.
I did not notice this. You told me about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, there is a hand that taps her on the shoulder. And so we're thinking potentially a part two.
It's got to be coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's set up. And also this song, I felt like initially, oh, it's a little short. You know, it leaves me wanting more.
It wants me,
so where's the part two? You know, Megan has been hinting at some things on her Instagram. Like, right. I feel like she has some more music. So, you know, I'm ready for it. We'll see. Something to look forward to. Also, the lyricism and the rap in this song is really good. At the beginning of Megan's verse, she shouts out RM, which is so great. Like, it's not just him just coming in featuring. It's a really, like, back and forth between them. Like, she loves the feature as much as he does.
Uh-huh.
And her verse is just so good. Like, powerful boss babe vibes, as always.
Always.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Megan Thee Stallion. That's just her. That's her style.
Right. Icon.
RM's rap is also very, very sexy. It reminds me a little bit of, like, when he worked with...
Balming Tiger.
Balming Tiger,
oh,
yes.
New Kim.
Similar kind
yes.
Similar kind of rap style. Like, his voice is low. His rap is very clean and fast, but also relaxed. Like, he comes off super cool in his verse. I can't tell you how many, like, TikToks I saw of other, like, reactors who are reacting to his verse and being like, whoa, like, this is an Asian guy. Who is this man? You know? And yeah, it's RM of BTS.
Hell yeah. We just want to talk about some of our favorite lyrics from his verse. And one that's like a big standout is he says, "For Asia man, we paved the way." And I just love, we both love anytime that he's acknowledging and owning now, because it's something that he wouldn't or any of BTS would have done in the past because they're just too humble.
Yeah.
But just now, like, owning that, yes, BTS did fucking pave the way for K-pop in the West. Like, opened so many doors, gave so many opportunities because of what they did.
Truly.
And the achievements that they garnished and gathered for themselves. Like, you know, now so many K-pop groups have, you know, not even just their foot in the door, but they're on the stage too, you know? And also it just reminds me of, like, that one of his most, like, last lives that he did, Weverse Lives, before he enlisted, where he's just, like, reading comments and, you know, people are always commenting, BTS paved the way. And he finally was like, yeah, we did, you know, it's just so fucking iconic.
How he laughs about it. Yeah. But I just have to say, one of the other lyrics though is, he's not only just acknowledging how BTS paved the way, but he also says, from the sides of Psy, from that side of the world, like, he's saying, like, Kayla, you had described the sides of Psy as in, like, an Adam and Eve reference of, like, taking the rib from,
like,
Adam.
You know, coming from this first creation. That's immediately what I thought of. Yeah.
I thought of just, like, that side of the world, like, coming from that side, like, from Asia. Like, I just really think that it's clever play on words, but also just, like, acknowledging that Psy had a pretty large effect too on the West, and getting in terms of putting Korea and Korean music
on, like, Gangnam Style or Gentleman. Like, he had a couple really big hits that did make a splash here in the West before BTS really came on the scene and were able to make their impact.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah. I also love the line, "smooth like criminal." It's very much a Butter lyric reference. Love it.
And then, like, I like the line where he says, "off to digital," like, him acknowledging, like, the modern streaming era and what it's like now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also says, "killing folks with a line." Yeah. How many sold out stadiums? Like, again, acknowledging successful fucking lyrical rap king.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Selling out stadiums all over the world, but also, like, the best lyricism. Like, truly.
The best.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do like his other line towards the end. He says, "call me a narcissist." Like, he's basically like, you can say what you want about me, but I really don't care. Like, I'm not full of myself. I just know who I am and what I've worked for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now I feel like I just love RM stepping into his own power too. Like, just knowing, like, yes, you know, and not being ashamed of, like, the, you know, being at the top, or the feeling the stress and the pressure of being at the top, instead of just, like, fucking owning it, which it feels like that's what he's doing here.
Owning it.
Anyways, that collab is so great. And also, we kind of want to touch on Muse here, because if you remember, like, Muse was coming out, like, literally when Bethany was giving birth. Like, she gave birth, like, 2.5 weeks before the whole album came out. So mm-hmm. we did get to talk about Who before going on break, but then we haven't talked about the rest of the album at all. Mm-hmm. I'm still listening to this album. I love Jimin. You know, I love Jimin, and I think this is such a good album. Like, honestly, like Rebirth intro was like really great for like leaving Jordan at the time, just like remembering who I am and just having that kind of like personal rebirth and like feeling special for myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And like just Who also became super relevant for me. Like, who is my heart waiting for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had no concept, no idea of like when I'll look for love again or whatever, but like, I just like that song spoke to me in a way that I had no idea it would when it first came out.
It kind of flip-flopped on you, like a totally different perspective of the song. Rebirth also ends it. I think Namjoon, there was a V Live with Jimin and Namjoon, which was so cute, of just going through Muse and listening to it together and hearing Namjoon's thoughts. And Namjoon said that Rebirth intro was one of his favorite songs on the album. And I just
think it's fitting
for you. I still really love the album too, especially Be Mine and Slow Dance, especially Be Mine. Be Mine is like my favorite on
the album.
I think. In that, like Bangtan Bomb or just like on YouTube, album listening that Namjoon and Jimin did together. Jimin and Namjoon really talked about how Jimin is developing a new vocal style and that he had really been working hard on it. We love this new vocal style. It sounds like he's getting some fuller voice through these songs and a confidence just in his natural register. So he doesn't have to be so high and soft all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we really like seeing this like stronger vocal coming through that isn't so gorgeous, beautiful, ethereal that Jimin is and can do.
I love the bold confidence that we get in Be Mine and Who. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, completely. Also, like, there's some other things that we've totally missed out on, and to be fully, you know, transparent, because of what Bethany was going through with like taking care of a newborn and me going through my divorce, like, honestly, everything else with BTS, we like checked out during this time. Like,
we
all the new
out.
Content.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, we're on break from the podcast. We don't have any responsibility to talk about this next week. Like, we really took a break and we've missed them, but it was also really nice to like not have to keep up with it when we had so much other stuff going on in our lives. But we did
we
just
had to zone in on some other things.
There was some other things taking some precedence, but you know, we hope you guys understand. But just to give you a little rundown, we want to know if you guys have been watching these content, what you think about it. Do we need to catch up on some of this?
Let us know. Like, we'll for sure cover it if this is something you really, really feel like we should cover on the podcast.
So Jin has his own version of Run BTS called Run Jin.
I know.
What an incredible idea. I just love this so far.
I think there were some iconics who said he was going to have his own
variety show. And they were right on the nose.
Totally on the nose.
He has 8 episodes so far as recording, but I think another one will come out this week. He's done so much. Like, he caught us up with Discharge. He climbed a mountain. He went back to his old high school. He had famous guests on a couple different episodes and like hosted his own variety show. He's played tennis, and there's just so much going on, but it seems to be Jin and his like natural element of like equal parts chaos, equal parts hilarity, you know, just like everything that we've loved and like have missed about Jin during his military service time. So it looks really wonderful. It's something that like I want to, you know, maybe go and watch a couple, you know.
I really appreciate you bringing out like his hilarity. Like, that for sure seems to be a crucial focus of this Run Jin series that he's doing.
Yeah, I agree.
So Jimin and Jungkook also had their own travel show series called Are You Sure on Disney Plus. And in this series, they traveled to New York, Jeju Island in South Korea, and Sapporo, Japan. And they do a vast amount of activities. So they like explore these places together, whether they're swimming, biking, what, I mean, it just looks like they do a lot of outdoor recreation, but they go to like, they're just immersing themselves in the culture of these places, the food, etc. So,
and it all looks like very cute, like just, you know,
and hot.
And hot.
And hot.
Because, like, you know, they're not blurring their bodies anymore. So you're seeing them, like, fully shirtless, getting in and out of the pool, swimming in the pool together, you know.
I feel like the most shirtless content I've ever seen from BTS has come from Are You Sure?
Yeah, like, what the heck? Like, I mean, really, we never see Jimin shirtless.
No.
And, and here he is in Are You Sure? So,
no. And we have Jimin. Kayla, you pointed this out. Jimin wrote his name in sunscreen on Jungkook's abs.
What the fuck? Jungkook is like posing for him as Jimin's taking a picture, and like Jungkook is like posing in a super like hot, like masculine, you know, way, like
with
yeah,
his
look
whole
at me
sleeve
of tattoo.
Yeah.
And literally he's just wearing a towel wrapped around his hips, like fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like the majority of what I've seen of this is shirtless Jimin and Jungkook with a towel wrapped around their waist.
That's all the clips that I've seen on TikTok.
Literally, that is what I feel like the entire show is.
I'm sure they've done other stuff, but we just, you know, it hasn't made it to socials because this is clearly the important part here.
Yeah, what we're all focused on.
Right.
Speaking of Jungkook, there was also a movie that Jungkook released called I Am Still. It was released in theaters on September 18th. And it follows the journey and the lead up of Jungkook becoming a solo artist and the creation of his first album, Golden. So it shows his performances and the creation of his songs while also showing a lot of new interviews and behind the scenes of the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a true army criminal for not having gotten and seen this in theater. Like, I got invited to go see it with my sister. My sister went to go see it, but I was in St. Louis for a bachelorette party that weekend. And so, which that's a whole nother thing is like, I was in a wedding, like I was a part of a bridal party. So
like
it
was literally last weekend.
Yeah. So one of my best friends. So it was like, I not only was on maternity leave, but I had a lot of prepping and stuff to do for a bachelorette party, bridal shower, and then the actual wedding day. So I just was like really preoccupied with a lot of that too.
Yeah.
But
look, listen, I know Iconics are listening and no one's blaming us.
Yeah.
You know, no one has a problem with this, but you know, it's content that like we feel like we missed out on too. Like, you know, if we would have had the time and the energy and the ability to focus on these things, like we know we would have really loved and enjoyed them.
This is
probably
the one I feel the worst about.
Hopefully
though.
It'll come to like Disney
Plus
or something.
Like I really want to see it.
Yeah, like it'll come to a streaming service and we can watch it together.
Yeah,
yeah, we can have a K-pop night. And
we've had Iconics reach out to us about this movie too, because like you all really enjoyed it.
It looks really incredible.
Yeah, like getting to see all of his performances and really just seeing all the hard work he put into creating Golden. Like you see his involvement on the album.
I feel like it's reminiscent of Yoongi's Road to D-Day that he released on Disney Plus, where we got to see like all the song creation and how really fucking cool that was.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that like we need to go back and
exactly
watch. Yeah. Also, oh my god, speaking of Jungkook again for the third time, it's just was announced today that he was supposed to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show with Usher, just like we theorized back then, like, oh my god, is Jungkook gonna show up? Because Standing Next to You, like Usher had promoted Standing Next to You so much, and it was confirmed he was supposed to, but he could not get a break from the military. Can you imagine?
A tragedy.
The first Korean to perform
at the
Super
Bowl.
That would have been so fucking cool. At the Chiefs Super Bowl that they won. Like,
don't. Oh my gosh, I know.
I know.
Even
like, what the
come
fuck?
On.
Yeah, we're Chiefs fans here, obviously. So,
right.
You know, but it's just, I love that we were right. I love that we knew that it was trying to happen.
Of course,
you know?
Usher offered that.
Of course. Yeah. Anyways, also, oh my god.
Also, the NFL should know that it would draw even more attention to the Super Bowl.
Even more than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyways. also, like, J-Hope is returning from the military so soon. I feel like when this episode comes out, it'll be like 9 days or 10 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally about to be back. You guys, we have made it through the longest drought of our lives, which is like the time without.
Isn't he doing like a D minus countdown?
Oh yeah. Like literally yesterday he posted like D minus 10. So it's probably like D minus 6 by the time this episode drops.
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting an RM to play the saxophone again
of
at
course.
Like his release, just like he did when Jin got out. It's going to be so cute. But like, oh my God, can you think back, Bethany, to when J-Hope released Jack in the Box?
No.
Performed bombed at Hobie Palooza. No, I can't.
I already can't
Still
go
not
there.
Over it.
Yeah.
Still not over Jack in the Box. Hobie Palooza was so fucking incredible. Biggest crowd in Lollapalooza history there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like that man poured his heart out and then went into the military.
Right.
And we are about to get him back.
We're about
like,
to get him
oh
back.
Oh my God.
Can you believe what is ahead for J-Hope now that he is going to be coming back? Like, I foresee him really doing something incredible.
Oh yeah.
He already had his Hope on the Street series. I foresee him wanting to continue that. And he talked about wanting to continue it.
And giving out, remember he hinted about like a volume two, like more music from that series.
Yes.
Like, he has to have another album, something else ready to go.
I believe that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel like he's going to want to get right
he's
back
hungry.
Into it.
He's ready to eat.
I can see it.
Oh yeah.
Burn. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Last thing. One of the most important things that we need to talk about.
Save the best for last.
Before we sign off here.
Right.
Is Kim Taeyang.
What's going on with Kim Taeyang?
Being so fucking massive. Like,
what the fuck?
There was a gym photo that got released. It's like him with two other guys. I'm sorry. I don't know who the other guys are in this photo. But Taeyang is in the middle and his arms are massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been a Taeyang bias from the beginning. Okay? And I know his arms. Like, I just really, really, really know the details of his arms.
He's
okay?
always been like a soft boy.
Yes.
You know? Not a lot of tone and definition.
No, I mean, they've always been slightly toned. His
right.
triceps especially.
Right.
Always have been toned.
Okay, but not bulky.
But never bulky.
Mm-hmm.
Never bulky. And he is just really bulked up. His neck is thicker. His face looks thicker. He just looks...
He's got like that short, like tight haircut right now too.
Yeah, he's just looking... thick and wide, and I didn't think it was possible. I almost am like, I don't know that man, you know.
Thank God he's wearing like longer like basketball shorts to his knees here, because can you imagine like the leg days he's been doing?
No.
Like, if his arms look like that, like...
That length of short is already obscene enough for me. Like, just seeing the knee and calf is, like, overwhelming.
Is
like, I didn't even thought, like, I thought that these shorts were revealing. The fact that you're like, imagine if he was wearing shorter shorts.
Imagine his thighs right now. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, this photo, when this came out, I was like, Bethany, oh, my fucking God. Do you see Taeyang right now? And yeah, still not over it.
Yeah.
We'll never be over this.
Yeah.
He can't. The rest of BTS, honestly, can't be released soon enough. They're going to be back. They're going to be, like, sexier and hotter and bigger and bulkier than ever and just, like, ready to make more incredible music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we're back now, too. So,
we're back.
Yeah.
And BTS are coming back very soon.
Very soon.
I'm pretty sure Big Hit just put out like a statement confirming that BTS are all going to be coming back as Seven whenever they are finished with their mandatory military
Literally
service.
Incredible. Can't fucking wait. Of
Me
course
too.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, BTS are Seven. So,
yeah.
Wow, Iconics. We have really missed you.
We have
really missed you. We've really missed recording and just not only having this time together, but having this time with you guys and being able to share our love and our passion for BTS. So thank you for waiting for us and for, you know, again, enjoying the fan favorite episodes in our absence.
We hope you enjoyed those.
We really do.
It was enjoyable for us to go back and
listen. We weren't, like, because of everything going on, we really weren't able to keep up on socials like we had planned to do. Like, I was really going to take control of all of that, and I just could not. But, you know, we appreciate you guys, and we love you so, so much. And
yes, thank you for all your support.
Yeah, seriously. And we're so happy to be back, and, you know, we'll be back in another... You know, after Hobie gets out of the military, we'll
Bi-weekly.
Be back with the next episode. Bi-weekly, you guys. Mm-hmm. We're so ready. So thank you guys for all of your support, especially those VIP Iconics. We just love and cherish you all so much. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to follow us on socials or, you know, rate us a review or whatever, of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And thanks for stanning BTS.
Hey
guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.